Saturday, Sunday, finally we may get some of the rain that we've been needing. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Smart Skin Spa and Salon is the River Region's full-service med spa, day spa, and salon. Located in historic downtown Prattville, with over 500 square feet, Smart Skin offers over 100 services of all things beauty and relaxation. Find them online or on Facebook now.
Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. A Prattville woman has pleaded guilty to aggravated child abuse after authorities say her son was naked and chained up. 32-year-old Danielle Martin pleaded guilty last week. An anonymous tip led investigators to the child abuse case last September. The state of Alabama has turned over more documents to the Department of Justice as it continues its investigation of the state's prison system. The Justice Department says the documents are related to allegations of excessive force and abuse by prison staff. And a judge has denied bail for a man charged with killing two Dothan teens in 1999. Coley McCraney was arrested in March for the shooting deaths of J.B. Beasley and Tracy Howlett. Court records show the case will go to a grand jury this month. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACB Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
As a business owner, how important is it that the first person your clients meet be exceptional? Do you realize they don't actually meet your employee first? They meet the outside of your building first. What you do on the outside of your building tells a customer a lot about what you do on the inside. When customers drive up to any business, a restaurant, a bank, a hospital, what is the first thing they see besides the building itself? They see the landscaping. If the landscaping is beautifully groomed, aesthetically pleasing, and professionally managed, you're going to instantly gain respect and trust. Property Management Source has proven to be one of the most professional landscape management companies in the area for businesses. For your business to succeed, call PMS 593-3341. They know how important a beautifully landscaped, manicured entrance is to any business. Call Property Management Source, 593-3341. They are your first impression. If it's outdoor, they do it.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
The city of Virginia Beach is in mourning. On Friday, a municipal engineer shot 12 people dead inside a government building before he was killed in a shootout with police.
New developments in the search for a Connecticut mom of five who vanished more than a week ago. Police announced the arrest of her estranged husband and his girlfriend.
Out of North Carolina, where a 17-year-old was badly injured in what one park ranger called a shark attack.
Four people were hurt when a cruise ship slammed into a dock in Venice.
The British newspaper The Sun pressed Mr. Trump about comments Meghan Markle made about him.
She said she'd move to Canada if you got elected.
What can I say? No, I didn't know that she was nasty.
On the campaign trail, some scary moments at an event where Senator Kamala Harris was speaking. A man rushed the stage, grabbed a microphone right out of her hand.
Puts up another three. Shot won't go. That'll do it. Golden State has tied the finals. And this best of seven series is tied at one game apiece.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Monday. Starting your week out right. 272-9228. First-time callers need to let Joey, the producer, know. We'll get your name in for the drawing for the Fresh Market $50 gift card. $50 gift card from Fresh Market. And Joey and I will attest that they have the bone-in ribeye premium on sale. What was it, $9.99? Or was it $7.99?
I think it's $9.99.
$9.99. It is outstanding. It's normally like $14.99.
Yes.
Really, really good. Makes a great dinner. And I don't know, it's that fat right around the bone that just gives it that really good taste. Did you, you don't use peppers with your steak?
No, not usually.
They've got these new sweet peppers that are little.
Yeah.
And they are really, really good. And so I chopped those up and marinated them in Italian, spicy Italian dressing, zesty Italian dressing. It was really good. Along with a 425 baked potato. And with some adult beverages and a good bottle of wine, you can't go wrong there, my friend. Then any caller can get in on the Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket. What's in that gift basket? Oh, you ask. Well, it's $60 worth of things that you put in it from Sweet Creek Farm Market. They've got peaches. They've got wonderful cantaloupes. They've got corn. They may still have some strawberries there. But go in and tell Karen Ingram that you're a Dan Marr Show listener. Reed should be there, I think, today because they're, I'm not sure they went Sunday die on Friday or not, but when I saw Reed, he did not think they were going to be back in for anything, and they did not think they were going to be going back for a special session, even to direct, handle DOC, Department of Corrections issues. But go by and see them. Tell them you're a Dan Marr Show listener. We're starting to plan some things with them for 4th of July. 4th of July this year is on a Thursday, and that always has kind of an awkward time frame, so I'm going to try to work out how we're going to handle that. And we'll do the 3rd is obviously our 4th replay, but then the question will be that Friday the 5th, what that bad boy looks like. We may just have a good time with that one. Maybe do something from the lake on a deck boat. What do you say? Doesn't that sound like fun?
It does sound like
fun. Corona involved? Oh, yes. Let's see where we are here, my friend. Let's go back into the 2020 Democrats meet in San Francisco in the great state of California, the liberal capital now of the world. So California convention, and is socialism a problem for Dems? Let's listen in.
Max, is that a problem for the Democratic Party?
No, I think it's not so much that we're moving to the left as it is that we're going to where our base has been for decades. It's been sort of artificially held to the center. And I give John Delaney and Governor Hickenlooper credit for going to California and sharing their ideas. I just wish they were better ideas.
Joe Biden wasn't there. He was in Ohio, chose to do that. He said he was invited to that first. Where does he stand on these issues? Would he be that extreme?
I think Joe Biden's already criticized, I think, some of the reach of someone like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the ambition of things like the Green New Deal. But he's running a really moderate, middle-of-the-road campaign. He was probably right to assume he had nothing to gain from going. Mm-hmm. But it does say something about your willingness to engage people who disagree with you.
So, I mean, you heard in the cut we did right before Jay came on. I mean, they were talking about, you know, you can't do a Medicaid for all. And, I mean, he got booed. And it may have been something intentional to do to try to set themselves apart. But these guys are polling so low in their numbers. And Joe Biden was not there. He was in Ohio and said he had a previous engagement. Now, I've been around the presidential world enough to know that you can change a previous engagement.
Right. I think he wanted to speak alone, have his own spotlight.
Well, I don't think he wanted to be booed by saying something that, because that would have been the tape. And his problem is, when you look at polling data, the reason people are voting for him is because they believe he can beat Donald Trump. You take that belief away or reduce it, his numbers will plummet, absolutely plummet. And Elizabeth Warren, Gildebrand on the town hall, talk about prostituting herself. Man, some of the things, everything was just a gigantic talking point to her. It was not even cuttable. It was so, it was like, you know, I can't believe you're saying that. You're so pandering.
What was your opinion of Chris Wallace's job he did as moderator?
He was trying to keep her in between the ditches, but he's trying to build a confidence factor that he will be one of the questionnaires for the general election debate. I clearly feel that. So he's kind of going out of his way to be nice.
Sure.
But, and he didn't do follow-ups. The only follow-up he did, she beat the crap out of NRA and said things about NRA that just were not true, totally untrue. And I guess I could use the Joe Scarborough phrase, she lied. And that's the only thing he really held her accountable on. And, you know, it isn't a mental issue, mental health issue. It's a gun ownership issue. She basically said that. And NRA is the most corrupt people on earth. And talking about making some voters mad in some areas, That would make some voters mad. So let's do this last part of the 2020 Democrats meeting in San Francisco, California.
Lonnie, what do you think about the party being so split, though? Because either you're the Joe Biden type and you are more moderate, or you are so far to the left, like the AOCs of the world, where they're pushing socialism, Medicare for all.
Well, I think it's important to realize that if you look at all of the ideas that some of these candidates who are gaining traction are pushing, you've got Medicare for all, which is an additional $30 trillion in spending on healthcare on top of what we're doing now. You've got a repeal of the tax cuts that have benefited millions of Americans. You've got the Green New Deal, which would basically want to get rid of cars, which we all need to use. So the challenge, I think, for the Democrats really is this. Are they going to be able to win a general election against a president with a great economy when they've got these ideas that really push America not just to the left, but to the socialist left? Max, and I don't think America's ready for that.
Max, you're shaking your head.
The problem is it's not a great economy anymore. I mean, we just had J.P. Morgan last week come out and say that the new trade war that president's proposing on Mexico would be making growth anemic
blips,
again.
But overall, the economy's booming.
The economy's been going up. And we posted 3% last quarter, but that's not happening again. I mean, we have between these tariffs, between what J.P. Morgan has said with general trade slowdowns, we're looking at an anemic economy. And it's not as if Republicans are opposed to raising taxes. That's exactly what tariffs are. They're taxes on consumers.
Okay. You guys keep doing that. You keep trying to tone down the economy and tell that we have an anemic economy, that is just not going to fly. You need to be looking at consumer confidence levels. You need to look at durable goods sales that are happening. People are buying things. Their credit ratings are going up because they're paying down debt and they're asking for more credit. It's really remarkable how much credit scores have increased and the impact that that's having. People are buying stuff. So Democrats, you keep going out and start talking about how bad the economy is, and it's going to bite you right on the old buttocks, as they would say. Brad Parscale had an interesting interview that I kind of stumbled into. This is a reporter down in Florida who is a kind of a local TV reporter, and he landed this interview with him. And Parscale was there in Little Havana doing meetings and doing an event. So he's going to talk about Florida and the impeachment impact. This is the campaign manager for Trump.
How critical is Florida for the 2020 reelection?
Look, I mean, Florida's always going to be critical. I mean, it's a key state. It's got a lot of electoral votes. It's Trump country, as I call it. It's a state we need to win, and I think we will win. I think we're in the driver's seat right now to win it. I think everything in the policies the president has done has put Florida easily on the win map for us right now.
Would impeachment be good politically for the president?
Look, I've been saying this. The more they beat that drum, the more they keep saying impeachment, the more this emboldens our campaign, and it pushes us forward. I think that they're making a mistake doing that. I think the polling data and the things that are out there show that we're on the right side of this issue, and I think that's why you see them making the actions they are right now. But they're going to beat that drum, and it's going to push us forward, and it's going to empower our campaign to even bigger victory.
And you can back that up. And though Joe Scarborough and Mika are on their honeymoon, and Willie Geist is so much more settled down when Joe Scarborough's not there. He feeds off of him way too much and plays his kind of Me Too role. But when you're looking at Trump's numbers and him going up in the polls, it's because of the economy, number one, but the fact that the Democrats are talking the impeachment stuff and that whole thing, and those two things are fused together, that if you think Trump is doing a good job and you think they may take him out, then you're worried that they may take him out and he's not going to be able to keep doing the job. When a person is asked, who do you think can do a better job with the economy, Democrats or Donald Trump? Donald Trump wins by a landslide. He gets a 62% favorability on the economy. But when you ask that head-to-head question, he is like off the charts. He's in the low 80s. So, guys, you just keep up that conversation because it isn't going to work for you. Okay, so he's going to keep going here. And again, this was a kind of unusual interview I stumbled over. And he's talking about he kind of made a statement that if the election were held today, Donald Trump would lose. But the election's not being held today, and he's going to give kind of the why he would lose and why he won't lose when it gets down to time.
There was a lot made recently of some internal polling that was leaked. I know you pushed back against it. That sort of said if the election were held today, which of course is a big star caveat to put next to it, that the president would lose certain states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, I think Wisconsin as well. Is that accurate? If the election were held today, would the president lose?
Look, there's a polling information comes, you ask a lot of questions. This was a large scale sample, and they took one little tidbit they thought they wanted to make that sound like a big deal. The truth is, when you actually take him against any defined candidate, when you define what they stand for, what they do, and you make it a two-way race or, you know, against them or a three-way race, the president comes out on top. This is the mistake that people said. There are cases over the years, if you go back to 2011 with Obama, and you had some undefined perfect candidate, you would have a different thing. As soon as the candidate had to make a position or you actually run a campaign, all of a sudden, the polling shows something different. So the president is in a winning position when you have him against a defined candidate.
That sounds to me, though, like as of today, he would not win. But no. Once the campaign is starting to move and defined, he would win.
No, what I even mean, I mean even simpler than that. I mean, as soon as you say,
listen to this.
This is the candidate right now.
Joe Biden, for instance.
Yes, and you say, here are the five issues Biden stands for, he already starts to win. The problem right now is you have people don't even know what the other people are running for. They even know. They don't know anything about it. So if the campaign was today, they'd be defined. So it's not about when. It's just they don't have the same name ID. The president's policies are well known. People understand his positions. They don't know these other candidates well. You know, all they know about Biden was he was a vice president. They don't know what he stands for. And when they learn that he's for big government socialism, therefore a lot of things that are going to destroy jobs and tear the country down, all of a sudden you see the president skyrocket ahead.
And that's what's going to happen. That's exactly what Obama did to Mitt Romney, if you remember, is that Mitt Romney could not define himself, and Obama defined him for him. He really built this, you know, he put his dog up on the top of the car, the book of women's names, and he could never kind of, you know, the Russia things, and he killed him with that. And I believe that's exactly what's going to happen with Trump. Trump is going to basically, through his operations, going to dismantle these folks. Absolutely dismantle him. News Time 93.1, Dan Moore Show, we'll be back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Turn on, tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM.
This is the garden where emotion grows. 24 feelings all day in a row. It's all right. Yeah, it's all right. I'm talking about the world. House garden.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Almost everyone has a pet or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? Or that they look like they're limping or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
Hi, this is Danny with High Caliber Gun and Pawn. November, we'll be celebrating 10 years doing business in the River Region, and Blue Water Broadcasting has been an integral part of that 10 years. High Caliber Gun and Pawn, we say we are a step above the rest, and Blue Water Broadcasting definitely is that step.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting, local folks helping local business.
If you have a pool, you know about needing help with it from time to time. I have found that company for you, Fagan Pool Service. They're a Regal Chemical dealer. They've been in business over 40 years. Regal Chemicals are the very top of the line. This is family-owned, father-son duo. They handle all repairs such as pool liners, pumps, motors, filters, salt generators, leak detection, you name it. American run by two veterans, so you can trust they know the importance of hard work, dedication, and integrity.
Has your pool lost its fun? We keep you in the swim of things. Call 201-1819, 201-1819, Fagan Pool Service.
As a kid, I got a kick out of helping my grandpa string up a white sheet in the living room while grandma loaded the reel with home movies. I even enjoy watching the VHS tapes my parents took of me at my first soccer game. My poor dad, running around the field with that huge camcorder on his shoulder, huffing and puffing. I capture all my kiddos' moments on my phone. I don't want to lose this visual history, as I like to call it. I did my research and trusted Dan Black Studios to convert our files and films. Dan Black Studios has provided quality professional video services to the River Region for over 30 years and can convert anything to a DVD or digital format. 8mm films, slides, VHS tapes, iPhone videos and pictures. I mean, everything. Dan Black Studios' processing facility is in Montgomery, unlike the big box stores, so you don't have to worry about anything being lost in transit. Preserve your visual history. Call Dan Black Studios at 334-279-6036.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Well, this show is flying by. This next part that the campaign manager for Trump, Brad Pascal, is going to be talking about is Biden, and is Biden his greatest threat? And then he's going to be talking about the do or die state. So the reason I'm doing this is I like you guys to hear kind of the person behind the scenes that's actually doing this stuff. This guy is excellent. Every person I've ever met that has met him or heard him said, the guy's brilliant, he really knows what he's doing, and he's not trying to BS you into stuff. He's not trying to convince you that he's doing a good job. He's doing a good job. Listen in.
Do you see Biden as the greatest threat?
No, I don't see any of them as a threat right now. I think the president right now is in a great position for victory. I think his policies, I think you see that in Florida right now, with some of the national unemployment, or the unemployment in the state even lower than national unemployment. In the Miami area, you see even lower at 2.5%, 3.5% in Florida. I think those economic numbers are going to, when people go into the ballot box and they vote for the future of their family, they're going to see the successes this president's done.
Just to go back to Florida for a second, do you put Florida as must win? I realize that you didn't actually need Florida's electoral votes in the last one, but do you see it as a must win?
In my columns, Florida's a do-or-die state. I think that's... but I also think it's a state we can easily win.
But what does that mean, though, when you say it's a do-or-die state?
Well, I think that, it's no different than for a Democrat, California is a do-or-die state in some ways, right? Or Texas is a do-or-die state. You can't lose these states as Republicans. It's the way the Electoral College works. I'm not saying that Florida is in a place that we are going to lose. I'm just saying it's one of the states we need to win as a Republican to go. And I think Ohio is another one of those for us. Texas is one of those. Those are three states as Republicans that have large electoral counts that right now are Republican-leaning states that we need to win.
Okay, so he kind of laid those out, and there are actually some numbers out by Florida that they're doing some head-to-heads with some folks. Trump does very well in Florida. He is... that's a state that even he's beating Biden in some head-to-head, but he basically beats everybody in Florida. That's a great sign. I'm not, this Texas stuff that everybody's talking about, I'm not sure where they're coming, because I've seen some Texas numbers. Beto O'Rourke does terrible. Joe Biden, everybody does terrible there now. There's a big difference of Beto O'Rourke running against Ted Cruz and somebody running against Donald Trump in Texas, particularly when you have the hierarchy of the Texas political system really behind Donald Trump. Okay, now he's going to be talking about what are some of the blue states that they may be able to flip. This is an interesting group.
You talked about expanding the map. Talk to me a little bit about what states you think are in play that the Democrats may be taking for granted.
Yeah, I think if you look at it more of saying what states in 2016 we lost that we can flip, and I think the three main states I'm looking at right now are New Hampshire, New Mexico, and Nevada. Those three states are, if you look at the Latino vote and the way we've progressed and continue to be successful with that vote, it has brought the Southwest up for us. And I think that's made New Mexico now in play. If not, we're in the lead. Nevada, not only to play, we're in the lead. And I think some of the economic decisions, and I think the differences in the political landscape of 2020 for New Hampshire, I think it's in play for the president as well.
Okay, let me tell you what's going on in Nevada. Nevada numbers are off the charts. From 2008 to 2000, in the middle part of 2011, Nevada fell off the, we were going through the recession, stock market was falling apart. It just basically went dormant.
The housing market in Nevada in particular was devastating.
It fell apart. Banking structure were having a problem. You had bankruptcies that were a real problem. And so then you got the latter part of the Obama years, and it never really picked back up. It got some momentum that was there. In the last 2 years, places like the Bellagio and different hotels and clubs that are there and casinos are tearing it up. You look at Bellagio stock, you look at Wynn stock, you look at Circus, and there was another that they're off the charts. And when Nevada is doing well with the tourist business and people are spending money there, Nevadians are happy. They're happy people. And they're giving Trump the credit for it. They really are giving Trump the credit for it. So this kind of union state that has a big Hispanic influence, I mean, he's right when he said we're leading in Nevada. They are leading in Nevada for real. And it's because of what's going on with tourism and convention and just people going there that were not going there 4 years ago. But damn, they're going there now. And that could be spell the big fat win. New Mexico is another one where you have a Hispanic influence that's there. The border issue is starting to work towards Trump in New Mexico and also in Arizona. And the Indian population, the Native American population, is starting to really come there because their numbers, their job employment numbers are getting better. And so that's really having an impact on it. These guys can talk the economy down, and you're going to kind of hear some things when we get into the Bill Barr meeting event in Alaska, and when we talk about the underpinnings of that. But no, as Mike Dibber would say, nothing succeeds like success. And a successful economy is drawing all these people up. So now let's continue on with Brad Pascal. And now he's going to be talking about the Mueller report and foreign meddling.
Have you read the Mueller report?
I have not read it page to page. I knew that you were going to ask that. But the
have you read some of it?
Yeah, I've read some of it. And I also have a large staff, which is nice. They said, read this, read that. Here's a summary report. Here are some other parts of it. I obviously scanned it for my own name when it first came out as well.
Only one reference.
Were you
disappointed?
That I was only referred to it once? No, I was tickled pink. I know I didn't do anything wrong, and I knew that my team didn't do anything wrong, and the report obviously showed there was no conspiracy or collusion, no case for obstruction.
Correct on all those points. One of the things, though, that it did say was that the Russian government did attempt to interfere in the election on behalf of Donald Trump against Hillary Clinton. My question to you is, did you have any sense of that during the campaign?
Yeah, I didn't have any sense of that. And I continue to say I've never been shown any proof directly. I've never seen anything that was in the report. I've never had anybody show me that actually affected a single vote. There's one thing for people attempting to do things, another thing when they're actually being successful. The Democrats wanted to make it look like they were successful. My argument is I haven't seen any proof of that.
Well, let me ask you this. Is there a concern on your part that there would be an attempt by a foreign government to interfere in a similar way
for instance, this time against the president? For instance, could China perhaps use some of that micro-targeting on social media that you know so well?
Look, I've always said that I do not want any foreign entity to meddle in our elections. I think the social media companies are going to be much smarter this time. I think the president is working on and doing things to make it tougher. Obama and Biden were asleep at the wheel the last time. They knew it. They didn't do anything about it. This president's not going to do that. So I think that's already a better situation than 2016 was.
News Talk 93.1, Dan Mo Show will be back right after this.
Your News Talk place to be, The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
What do you get with Greg, Rich, Jay, and Emily Hayes? Three men and a lady. Mornings, 6 to 9 on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Come on, boy, finish your business, and we'll get you back inside.
Hey, neighbor, trouble with those allergies again?
Yep, tried just about everything, but he's still scratching all day, every day. Feels so bad for the little guy.
Happened to us not long ago. Randy at Prattville Farm Center recommended Victor dog food. No corn, wheat, gluten, or soy. Plus, it's cheaper than the food I was buying across town.
Happy allergy-free dogs eat Victor dog food from Prattville Farm Center. 1154 South Memorial Drive, 365-5400.
Fox News, I'm Karen McHugh. Tea with the royals as President Trump and the First Lady begin their British excursion. The mayor of London, however, is not a fan, but the feeling is mutual.
The president taking a swipe at the mayor of London after Sadiq Khan said,
"We're going to have good relations with the USA, but I don't think we should be rolling out the red carpet."
The president responding on Twitter before Air Force One had even landed here, calling the mayor stone cold loser.
Fox's Simon Owen. Tonight, the Trumps attend a state dinner in their honor. Apple and other tech giants having a rough day on Wall Street.
The Department of Justice could open a probe into Apple. This is the latest tech giant. We don't know the details just yet if it has to do with competition, but overall, it looks like these regulators, these federal regulators, are looking into these big tech companies and how they monopolize or potentially monopolize the market.
Fox's Christina Parsonevolos. This is Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather is brought to you by Blue Haven Pools. Building and designing an amazing new smart pool is just a click away. Learn more about smart pools that are virtually chemical free by visiting bluehaven.com.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. The week starts out quiet, but some much-needed rain later in the week, and our fingers are crossed for today. Sunshine dominates again, another dry day with a high around 93. Partly cloudy, low 68 tonight. Tomorrow's high about 94, mainly dry again. Widely scattered storms pop up Wednesday, another warm day. And then the rain prospects get a little bit better on Thursday with scattered thunderstorms, and then storms becoming more likely Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Finally, we may get some of the rain that we've been needing. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Can you imagine a checking account which saves you money, even earns you money? At Prime South Bank, you'll find just that. A checking account with no monthly fees, which earns interest on larger deposits and can automatically put money into your savings account. Now that's an account worth switching for. Prime South Bank, with locations in Tallahassee, Wetumpka, and Montgomery. Member FDIC.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1, WACV.
Yeah, the sixth grader wrote that ad, didn't they? Man. I liked Brad's answer to the Russian meddling type of situation. This whole meddling stuff is so overplayed. And he spent, I didn't know this until kind of another article I read, they spent $97 million on direct pop-up ads on Facebook and Google and all that. $97 million. That's a lot of pop-up ads. And they're micro-targeted. And they've got it down to a finer number now than they did before. Okay, so now he's going to be talking about Trump and Twitter and then this micro-targeting.
Is there ever a moment where you wake up and see what the president's tweeted where it gives you any heartburn?
Well, I mean, I would clearly not be alive if I said no. Yeah, of course, you know, but that's what campaign managers do. My job is to get heartburn and then to continue down the path of victory. He is the boss of this campaign, and he's the one with the incredible political, radar and directional arrow, and my job is to follow that and to successfully implement what he wants.
Are you looking to create an account for him on Parler?
No, people bring that up. Look, my job is to monitor all of everything out there. I monitor everything and anything there is social media and make sure that if anything changes, we're going to be ready. I think we have a lot of things up our sleeve that we haven't even announced yet that will even give us more capability to talk to our volunteers and our supporters.
Well, you got me to sign up on Parler, so I'm acting on it now. he's going to come in here in a second, but I'm going to ask this. What's the one thing, because I think you'll like this question, what's the one thing that the media continues to get wrong about Trump supporters?
I think there's a lot of things they just get wrong about Trump himself. I mean, this is a man who didn't need to do this. He wanted to do this for this country. He had a great life, and now everyone says that he did it for some reason. He needed something else, and this is a man who actually is fun to be around. He's patient with me. I've worked for him for 9 years almost now, or almost 10. I don't know. I'm starting to lose the math. And I think that people understand it. You know, he loves his country, and he's fighting for it every day. And this fight isn't as much a fight for himself. It's for every individual that was just being left behind. And I think that there were millions of people, and I've gone all over this country. I've got to see more of it than I've ever imagined I ever would. And it was amazing how many people just felt like it had all come down to a few cities and a few people that thought they were more important than all the rest of us. And I think that's the beauty that our country was set up for, and I think that the president recognized he had a special skill that could change that for all of America.
This guy is really good. Every time I hear him, I have a higher confidence level about the campaign. Now, this is going to be, they finished the interview, and this is going to be the interviewer doing kind of a rap about the interview. Very insightful.
Let's talk about messaging for a second. In 2016, Parscale built a database of 9 to 10 million emails and cell phone numbers that they could then tailor messages to. This time around, Parscale is predicting they will have 50 million, maybe even 60 million emails and cell phone numbers. One of the keys to building that database? Merchandise. The campaign sells a dozen different varieties of the Make America Great Again hats, nearly 60 different t-shirts and jackets. They sell bathing suits, dog collars, Christmas ornaments, and beer cozies. And when you buy those items, they capture your contact info. We've never seen an operation on this scale before. Now, after our formal interview, I had a chance to catch up with Parscale a second time at the Young Republicans event. And this time I asked him, what kept him up at night?
What keeps me up at night about the campaign? That's the first time for that question. Right now, I'm sleeping pretty good. I mean, we've built out a pretty good organization. You know, I would say, a year ago was different. You know, I think by the time this is done, I'll be campaign manager for over 900 days. I think that might be a record. I still got 587 days ago. I think it's 583 today. I don't know, I'm guessing. Somewhere around that. Look, I still think we have to build out incredible coalitions. Look, we'll probably have to raise $1 billion if there's anything that keeps me up. How do you get to $1 billion, I think we're going to do it, though. I think our small-dollar operation and all the prospects we've done, I think the president's popularity now around strong Republicans will continue to raise money. I hope we even get higher than $1 billion.
Now, to put that billion-dollar figure in some context, in 2016, the Trump campaign spent less than $400 million, and Hillary Clinton spent $768 million.
Okay, there's a lot of information in there. First of all, the micro-targeting, where he may be up into the 50 to 60 million names, addresses, telephone numbers of folks. And so he's going to be able to send out reminders to these people about voting, getting their opinion, getting feedback from them, finding out if they're finding other people to add into the list. This is a very organic operation. These other campaigns, the Democrats are out here trying to run a primary campaign, and the reason someone who is a seated president loses is because they have to run a primary campaign, and it takes them off the big game, where when Reagan ran in 84, we were running a 50-state campaign, and actually in 1980 we ran a 50-state campaign. We had to go back to the primary model after, because we went too broad. So that's how we picked back up with New Hampshire. But if he's talking to those kind of people, the Dems aren't going to be able to catch up with that. And Bernie's people are not going to become Joe's people, and Joe's people are not going to become Elizabeth's people. It's not this interchange. He has got names that are Trump people, that Trump is talking to these people. They've got the names. They have the ability to communicate to them. And they are going to spend a tremendous amount of money identifying and finding. If they already have 50 million people, that's enough for the win right there.
It's unreal.
And because only 100 million votes that were cast.
Well, and I find the idea that they got that database from merchandise sales to be fascinating. I mean, that's actually a really good guarantee.
The Trump dog collar.
Well, maybe you're like, well, is somebody actually interested, or are they just trying to get on an email list? No, if you actually buy some merchandise.
Yeah, you're there.
Mm-hmm.
You are there. And some of these candidates, because of the way the Democrats have done this with the threshold of you have to have a certain amount in the polls and then a certain number of donors that are small, I think it's 65,000, you have a whole bunch of people who aren't able to do that. The Yang and the Hickenbackers and that kind of stuff, they're not even in the ballpark of that. And so they're going to get booted out of this whole thing. And I am now officially really looking forward to the first debate and see how Joe does and see what people do to Joe. Because Bernie said, I mean, he actually outed Joe and basically said, you know, there's some people who are not here who do not think you're important, and was calling out Joe Biden. And Gildebrand kind of did the same thing in the town hall. So this one's going to be interesting. I'm getting kind of into this stuff here. Okay, so Jan Crawford did an interview with William Barr. You remember he was in Alaska, broke the story that was the Mueller announcement, but she was there to actually cover Bill Barr because he was in Alaska. She is the legal judicial correspondent for CBS. This is really interesting why he is there. We're going to talk about this and the difference of a Trump administration and a William Barr and an Eric Holder and the Obama administration.
Why did he choose to travel so far?
Gail, he wants to take a look at the problems that are plaguing some of the rest of the country. And Alaska's two U.S. senators had really been urging him to visit. And what he saw there, I mean, it prompted him to call public safety in much of the state an emergency.
To get to this remote fishing village in southwest Alaska is a ride by boat. But this is one of the places Attorney General Bill Barr came to see.
I'm glad I'm here. It's good to meet you.
Welcome to Nebraska.
Thank you very much.
As he made his way along the boardwalks that wind through the village, he heard how the isolation has made the residents vulnerable.
We need serious public safety care.
In a meeting at the local school, the village's tribal chief pleaded for help and protection.
We may be poor. We may be the poorest people and the neediest people. But we should matter.
Alaska has the highest rates of domestic violence and sexual assault in the United States, three times the national average. But an investigation by the Anchorage Daily News and ProPublica found one in three communities in Alaska had no local law enforcement officers. And there, sex crime rates are even higher. Help can be hours or a day away.
Someone asked me, why are you here? Why did you pick Alaska? It's because, to me, my job is to go where the need is greatest. And I think the need is greatest here. These are people that are just asking for the basic physical security. And it's not much to ask.
Okay, so this is something that's happening all over the place. And I think it's very interesting that he is doing this. Whether you go to an Indian reservation in Arizona or New Mexico, where you have a group of indigenous people that are there, you have alcoholism, you have crime, and you have sex crimes that are kind of off the charts that are there. And take it, for example, you go to Blowing Rock, and it's an Indian reservation. The unemployment was awful there. Now, things are getting much better, but because of the unemployment, then alcoholism starts coming in, and then drugs are going in. And because you have a tribal atmosphere, you have this kind of hierarchy that's there. So the tribe isn't going to go take, you know, person X, who's noted in the community, and charge them with a sexual battery type charge. It's kind of like it's within our own business. You have the same thing that's in Alaska with the Eskimo population that's there, and that's what you're talking about. You have these people that are, it's rural, there's nothing to do but look at the midnight sun and drink and do some serious drugs, and this stuff is off the charts. Every population that you have that are isolated by themselves, indigenous, that's what you end up with. And it is terrible. I remember when we went to a Indian reservation in South Dakota and then also Arizona, New Mexico, it broke your heart. You see these abandoned cars, you see people who would go out and buy a refrigerator but didn't have electricity to their hogan, for example. But they would just buy a refrigerator.
Well, and people shouldn't brush aside as any kind of joke or any sort of light issue, pun intended, I suppose, the lack of sunlight in some parts of that state. It really does affect how people's moods are. It is unreal what that could do to your mindset without being not seeing the sun for so long.
Yeah, and it's just, it's so, I've never, there are only two states I haven't been to, Alaska and North Dakota, haven't spent the night in also. But that is one thing that people tell me when you go to Alaska and you just find this community of Eskimo Indians that are there, and that it's like time has just gone, has just passed them by. And they're trying to live in a modern world, but they have their culture that they is so ingrained in them. Tom, hang on. The MR Show will be back right after this.
Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV. Giving voice to liberty in our time. The Joey Clark Radio Hour. Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
As a business owner, how important is it that the first person your clients meet be exceptional? Do you realize they don't actually meet your employee first? They meet the outside of your building first. What you do on the outside of your building tells a customer a lot about what you do on the inside. When customers drive up to any business, a restaurant, a bank, a hospital, what is the first thing they see besides the building itself? They see the landscaping. If the landscaping is beautifully groomed, aesthetically pleasing, and professionally managed, you're going to instantly gain respect and trust. Property Management Source has proven to be one of the most professional landscape management companies in the area for businesses. For your business to succeed, call PMS 593-3341. They know how important a beautifully landscaped, manicured entrance is to any business. Call Property Management Source 593-3341. They are your first impression. If it's outdoor, they do it.
Intellectually honest, philosophically consistent radio. News and views from 9 till noon. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV. Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Wow, final segment of the show. I can't believe it. So much to do in such little time. Let's go to the phones, and as promised, let's go to Tom. Tom, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Hey, Mr. Dan.
How are you?
Hey, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm really good.
Great, great. I caught the tail end. I just turned it on a minute ago, and you was talking about casinos. Was it in Alaska? You was talking about a casino, I think. I might have heard wrong.
A long time ago, I was talking about a casino, but just recently, I was not talking about that. I was talking about the Indian reservations in New Mexico, Arizona, and South Dakota.
Oh, okay. Well, the reason I called in, like I said, I caught the tail end of it. When you say casino, I didn't know, but I do say this about the casinos. These people, the tribes and everything, are real good people, but there is a lot of drugs and there's a lot of prostitution that goes on at these casinos. So, you know, I'm not make a habit of go out there. I go out with friends sometimes and spend $20 on gum. I go out there and eat, maybe see a show, you know. But I do know what goes on out there, and the real police cannot go out there and do anything about it. But that is out there a lot. So all you wives out there, husbands, go out there. Be careful. Take it easy, buddy.
Thanks, Tom. I appreciate it. News 93.1 FM, Dan Moore Show on a Monday. Your weekend begins here, or your week begins here. Let's go to John. John, welcome aboard.
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
I'm very good, John. And you today?
I'm pretty good. I've been to Alaska numerous times, and I went to Bettles, which is a little town. There's probably like 15 people that live there in the whole town. And I worked shipbuilding then, and we would have to go out and do repairs. I was with a place called Eastern Shipbuilding in Panama City, mm-hmm. and Caldive out of Texas. And we would go up there, and it really is. It's like, it's depressing sometimes.
Yeah.
Because we were there, and like, everybody who wasn't drinking that we met when we come into port, if they weren't drinking, they were using drugs. And there was, one of the only things they had to do for fun was they would race snowmobiles or dog sleds. And it's like, that was it. They had nothing else. And we were so ready when our ship, when we got back on our boat to leave. I mean, that was like, it was like 3 months, I think, when we were there. It was 3 months of night, or 30 days of night. I couldn't remember exactly what it was. It's been years ago. But I remember that was some of the most boring and depressing times I'd ever had.
I've heard that from several people. I have friends that have gone there, and they've gone salmon fishing, and they said it is... You know, you go to these fishing camps, and there's normally a village that's not too far from there, and you take a bush plane in, and you're there. And he said, it is just awful. I mean, people are walking around, staggering around in the little village or town, and because they're just stone drunk.
That, and they've got I don't know. A lot of it they classed up as suicides when I was there, but they would have a lot of deaths, and it was self-inflicted,
yeah.
And so a lot of times they couldn't really decipher whether it was or if they purposely done it. But that was like an everyday thing. It was so common that when the detectives and everything would respond, they were just like, oh yeah, just another day on the job.
Yeah. Did you notice that's just from the general population, or was it from the indigenous population from Alaska?
It was actually general, and as far as everybody. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with how Alaska's set up, but the way it's set up is you've got Anchorage is probably your biggest city, mm-hmm. and that's where we would come in at.
Right.
And then we would have to take off out of Anchorage, and we would go to, like, Bettles and these other little towns. And the people are pretty much different and the same everywhere you go. And they're either really friendly or they're really hateful. And most of the time it's when they're really friendly, it's because, hey, this guy's going to buy us a drink at the bar tonight. And you see a lot of that. But people act the same there. It's kind of hard to explain. It's not like Alabama.
No, it's not like Alabama.
No, it's not even like your smallest town in Alabama where, everybody's friendly and, want to pat you on the back. And they're real secluded. They're real reclusive.
Right.
That's the best way I can put it. They're real reclusive. They're not really open, and they're not really talkative. And when they do talk, or when you finally do get something out of some of them, it's it's usually, you know, when are we going to be done or when are we leaving? And that's about it.
Interesting, John. Thanks for the telephone call.
All right. Y'all have a great day.
You too. Let me finish this last leg of this Jan Crawford story with H.G. Barr talking about Alaska.
This village has new tribal police officers, but with no training. Their jail is used primarily as a drunk tank. 97% of the crimes committed by Alaska natives involve alcohol or drugs. Before traveling to the fishing village, Barr met with advocates at one of only two women's shelters in the entire region, understaffed and overcrowded.
It's a common thing to be, you know, over capacity. So we've got people staying in the living room and in our playroom.
In Anchorage, he toured the state crime lab with his backlog of unprocessed rape kits. Barr met with Native leaders from every region of Alaska and said he's looking to develop federal-state partnerships.
I've always been mindful that it's the responsibility of the Attorney General to serve all the people of the United States in every state and in every community.
Now, the Attorney General said he's hoping to find a broad solution that will also involve the tribal governments. And today, the Justice Department plans to announce new funding for Anchorage because of its disproportionately high crime rate. Tony?
Jan, it seems lack of transportation is further isolating these remote communities. What other problems are they facing?
Well, I mean, alcohol. I mean, that is a huge problem in these villages. The Alaska Natives, they hadn't even dealt with alcohol until it was introduced by people from, as they say there, the lower 48. I mean, it's banned in most of those communities, but it's still available. It's smuggled in. It's sold in some of those towns. And as we mentioned, it's a factor in almost all the cases involving assault, violence, and suicide.
Yeah, talking about a transformational state, and I really admire Barr for doing this and going out there and addressing this issue. You don't get a lot of attorney generals coming in and doing something like that. And whether a crime is happening on an Indian reservation or is happening in a state because of indigenous people, it's crime. And this is something that the Obama administration refused to even look at. They sat there and watched, particularly in the 2009, 10, 11 time period where the economy was really faltering. They did not address the murder rate on Indian reservations was off the chart. Suicide rate off the chart. The sex crimes, the abuse off the charts. And they refused to do anything about it. And it really was a shame. Joey, I want to thank you for a great show, my friend.
Good show today, yeah.
We've got Charlotte Meadows on tomorrow at 1.
Yes.
Excellent. Then we have another candidate, Tobias, I think is the way we pronounce his name.
We'll have to ask him.
Yes, we'll definitely ask him. And he'll be on Wednesday at 1 o'clock. So we're going to start lining up these candidates. The election is 1 week from tomorrow. Guys, be good. Be safe. Be back tomorrow at 12 o'clock. I'm going to keep doing this until I get it right. Greg Budell the Great, he's next. Adios.